You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Oh my God. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin, and this is episode 114. God damn. Man, that comes out to being what, 50, hold on, doing the math, 57 hours. Like if you listen to this, like let's say you were an insane person and you binge listened to my entire library, that would be 57 hours of me talking shit. Man. I don't know what to say. Don't do that, by the way. That doesn't seem healthy for anyone. At least take a break to sleep. At least twice in those 57 hours. That's what I would recommend. Don't go all the way through. Look, I don't know what I'm doing. Let's get started. It's recording this is September 2nd, and the temperature dropped here in Austin, Texas. We've got rain, and the forecast looks like the temperature, a cool front, like a real ass cool front is coming in next week. So we made it past the triple digits, and Jesus, it's been brutal. I mean, we've still been inside a lot, so it's like, oh my God, it is so hot out there where I'm not. Hope you're doing all right. Hope you're hanging in there. I, at one point in the past few days, I told my fiance, I said, babe, it's going to be okay. Football is back. It's like, babe. I know you're stressed out, but guess what? I'm starting fantasy football this week. I can't wait. Everything's going to be okay. I've got to do the draft in two leagues this weekend. Everything's going to be all right on my end. I got, you know, but it, you know, right next to you, you know, adjacently to you, it's okay. And it helps you because it'll give me something to do and calm my mind down. And then I will put more energy into supporting you. So in a way, fantasy football coming back is good for you. And that's how I'm spinning that. I'm excited. It's going to be weird. Can you do an NFL season during a pandemic? Doesn't matter. Money says yes. We've got to make money, says the NFL. So it's going to be a lot of, you know, I'm interested on the level of like having to do like drafting and trades and benching somebody and somebody, you know, you've got a player that you're like, oh, he's a sure thing for my team. And then they get COVID. So then you got to bench them for a few weeks. And then put somebody else. It adds an extra level. And if you're wondering, you know, will football be interesting without fans? And it'll be different. Will it be interesting? Absolutely, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if you've watched the NBA playoffs, but as somebody who enjoys the, you know, basketball as a sport, like when you take the fans out of it, I mean it. Yeah, it brings it down a notch, but it's just kind of it's different, and they, you know, there's more focus at playing. Yeah, there's less showboating. That's the thing, is that it's gonna be interesting for football teams to play to nobody, and there's gonna be less celebrations, I think. Or the celebrations are going to, they've got to at least feel dumber if there's nobody to celebrate for, you know? You're just going to, yeah, yeah, give it up. And it's just like there's nothing. Like I'm thinking maybe it'll dial back the, you know, the congratulatory, you know, I kicked a field goal, you know. You know, I got a sack. Let me do a 2-minute, you know, line dance. I'm hoping that it'll tune it down a bit. So, but I'm excited for the distraction. It's it. If anything, it means that my podcast listening, I've got something to listen to. That's different because I've really dialed back on news. You know, I've limited the amount of researching and reading and like over saturating my brain with what's going on in the world when you can do it in about 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, instead of constantly listening and then listening to other people or watching videos of analysis of the news you just watched. You know, and then that leaks into podcasts. Now you're listening to podcasts of people talking about, you know, the current events that you've just found out about, or which is just like listening to the news again repeatedly. So I've been tired of listening to even comedians. Like I listen to, you know, you listen to a bunch of comedians podcasts. Oh, who you listen to? Old white men, apparently. It's like, oh, big shock there. The old white guy listens to old white guys. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I'm listening to them. And honestly, kind of tired of listening to the same old things, same old people. Like, and they're, you know, they're like me. They're like, I need content. Let's look at the news and talk about that, I guess, again. So I've been kind of, yeah. So I've turned to like, see, I'm listening to like science podcasts now, and also my old podcast, but I needed something other than news and current events and, you know, idiots who don't know anything like me. Oh, I need to listen to a like-minded idiot who also doesn't know anything to tell me what they think about the thing that I don't really grasp, and maybe they don't either. So this has been great because now I can obsess and listen to what most people would consider a waste of time, which is fantasy football podcast episodes, where they just over-talk and over-analyze, you know, spending 20 minutes on, hey, do you think Sterling Shepard will be okay this year, fantasy football-wise? 20 minutes. And I listened with bated breath. Oh, will he? Should I draft him? Like, just, I can't imagine somebody who doesn't give a shit about sports trying to sit through it. It would probably, if you need help sleeping, maybe that's what you should do. Find the 20-minute analysis by CBS about the performance of Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard. Maybe if you need help sleeping, maybe that's the way to go. Also, I started watching the Ken Burns documentary series, The Vietnam War, which came out like 3 years ago. And it's interesting because Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross did the soundtrack for the documentary series. And that's the only reason that I was reminded of it, because when I listened to a lot of Reznor, Atticus Ross stuff when I'm just kind of trying to zone out kind of at work or whatever, because it's just great. If you can listen to soundtrack shit, dude, like it's the way to go. And so it came up that they did the soundtrack for the Vietnam War. And I thought, man, I should look at that. And if you have Prime Video, Amazon Prime, if you have it, there's the PBS documentary channel. So it's PBS documentary series channel, I think is what it's called. You can do a 7-day free trial through Prime, and then you'll be billed $3.99 a month. And here's the thing about the Vietnam War series. It's there's 10 episodes, 10 chapters, and each chapter is at least 90 minutes long. It's thorough. So, you know, you've paid $3.99 to watch, you know, John Wick 2. Like, you've paid the money for a 90 minute to a 2 hour movie. Like, it's not that big of a deal. So if you can't watch that many, 15, 18 hours worth of the Vietnam War in 7 days, which we probably shouldn't. Once again, it's probably even more intense than listening to 57 hours of me. So, you know, take your time with it. So that's what I'm going to be doing over the next month, because I figure I'll pay $3.99 for 1 month subscription for the PBS documentary series. And also, it's PBS documentary, which means that after that's done, there's probably, I haven't looked, but I'm guessing they've probably got the Ken Burns documentaries for the Civil War and World War II and anything else on there. So I don't know. I may just keep going, but we'll see. But I started watching it and I realized one side effect of watching it is that it's intense and it's not fun. I mean, it is kind of fun because it's informative, because you think you know about the Vietnam War, but like I watched the first episode, which is about an hour and 40 minutes, and it's all about the history of Vietnam from 1858 to 1961, and you're just sitting there going, I didn't know we gave the French hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, you don't know stuff, and it's a different thing. I think the thing that really realization was that I now, because of the pandemic and because of how life is now, I am now reading books or listening to audiobooks or watching documentaries more for personal fulfillment, like they're supposed to be for, and less what a lot of us did, what a lot of us do, which is to consume some kind of media in order to inform/impress others. To see like we're knowledgeable about a subject. You know, it's like the reading an article and then immediately posting it and talking to people on social media like, let me tell you what I've known all my life. You know, and you're just like, you just found out about this half an hour and now you're lecturing me like I'm uninformed. Okay, all right. It's that kind of a thing. But it's a totally different, because I didn't really retain, I don't have enough details to lecture. And it's just kind of funny. You're sitting there and you just watch it. And you know, I felt like turning and going to the first person I could find, either by contacting by phone or stepping outside of my apartment and just going, you know, hey, did you know that the French were in Vietnam for 100 years? Yeah, that's why it's called French Indochina. So you did know that? Yeah, I've known that for a while. I read a book about it. Okay, I was just wanted to. I didn't, so I just assumed others. But it's crazy, right? Yeah. All right, I'll talk to you later. So, but it's different. Like, I'm really, the other thing about it is that watching how fucked up Vietnam has been, like, all through, like, from, like, even before World War II, then during World War II with the Japanese, now dealing with, you know, the French, and then the French came out, and then the Japanese, you know, are squatting in there, and then them leaving, and then French, and, like, it's just, it's like, it does kind of put what you're going through in perspective a little. You're like, oh, well, I mean, I guess it could be worse here. So so the side effect of watching, it's just far enough away. The Vietnam War now is just far enough away that it doesn't, that you don't have any internal trigger warning shit. You know, it's like, so it's the same kind of level as like watching World War II stuff. I get it. And I realize that by watching war documentaries, I have now aged 10 additional years to what I already am. I get that. No, I get it. I'm not saying that you should, but I think the ultimately what I found interesting was that I am now consuming media because, you know, I want to enjoy it and not to impress other people. Not that I ever like, you know, knowingly like I'm going to watch this so that I can tell my friend Jay something that he doesn't know that I know he doesn't know, and I'll feel smarter than him. Like, I don't think I ever did that, but I think that we, you know, you get so caught up in appearances and wanting to look cool and to be something that you're not on social media, which people still do, but it feels like we're not as fake. Not because the not so much because the pandemic has changed us. It's just like, I think it's the futility of being a fraud online. Like, there's no like there's less of an end game, I guess. So it's like what's the point of being fraudulent? You know, I'm just gonna go enjoy me, because impressing some rando online doesn't seem as appealing. So that's cool. I like that. All right. Got another thing to talk about, but before we get to it, let's take a quick break for an advertisement, shall we? All right. Hey, gang. It's important to cut down on your sugar intake, and nothing is worse for you than sugary soft drinks. As you probably are aware, sugar is linked to weight gain. Sugar turns into fat in your liver. Sugary soft drinks may be the leading cause of type 2 diabetes, and it increases your risk of heart disease, a higher risk of cancer, and that sugar consumption increases your risk of gout and dementia. So it's just a good idea to avoid sugary soft drinks at any cost, especially as you get older. However, if you have to drink a sugary soft drink, I recommend Orange Fanta. Is there any soft drink better than a fucking Orange Fanta? I don't know of one. It's my personal favorite. So I recommend, if you have to drink one of those, Fanta. Because Orange Crush is a little bitch compared to Fanta, and don't even you fucking bring up Sunkist. Fanta is the shit. Take it from me. All right. That's right. Unpaid advertising. But it, you know, I only advertise shit that I like. And we're back. Let me do more of that. You guys, everyone, I hope you're doing all right out there. I wanted to just mention, because I think I talk about it at least anywhere from 30 seconds to ad nauseum every week about limiting your intake of news and social media, because it's, and I can say from personal experience how positive that is, about how good it is to not be just inundated with the amount of shit. And I wanted to bring up something about that, about how, you know, it feels, you know, you can really feel the despair of, you know, what's going on in the world, because that's what the news is forcing at you. It's just hitting you with, and they're hitting you with it because that's what people want to read for some reason. Like, people want to keep being upset. It's just how we are. I've always thought it's hilarious when people blame the media. You know, it's all the media. It's, you know, the media wants you to believe. The media wants to get paid and they get paid by their advertisers by clicks and interest. So they're going to push at you stories that you're interested in, that the masses are interested in. Oh, you want to know more about what the Kardashians are doing? Here we go. Here's all this Kardashian bullshit. You think it's the media's idea to force that fucking family down our throat? No, it's because some of you fuckers like to find out what's going on with them. I don't know why. And I get it. I also like shit. I also will read things that I don't, I can't give you an example right now. I just blanked on, let me think. What do I like that's awful? A lot. I like a lot of things. But it's just, it reminds me of, because, for example, in 1990, that's 30 years ago, because I'm old. But in 1990, for months, almost every day, there was a news report letting you know that killer bees, that Africanized honeybees, aka killer bees, were coming from South America, Central America, through Mexico, and they're coming to America. Holy shit, you guys, the killer bees are coming. You know, hide the elderly, grab that slow kid. The killer bees are coming. Get them inside. The killer bees are coming. And then they got here in October of 1990. And you know what happened? Not a goddamn thing. We learned to live with them. They just popped up in certain parts of southern states. They just kind of did their thing. And the people who had to deal with agriculture and like the scientists and stuff, they just kind of adjusted and they're like, all right, well, they're here. But it was like a fucking monster movie for weeks, because that's what people were like. People were afraid. And so the media goes, oh, you want to, well, let's just throw more killer bee shit at them. Let's give, what's, where are they now, Bob? Well, I'll tell you, we've been tracking them. And they're just in this part of Mexico. They've migrated almost half a mile. The thing is that it's so ingrained in my head, because I was, I think it was 16 turning, I was almost turning 17 that year. So I was like, and we didn't have the internet. So that's what we heard about. And it was like, oh God, is this going to change the way we live? No. You don't hear about AIDS anymore. I guess they cured it, right? There's no problem. No, it still exists. When's the last time you saw something about the opioid epidemic? You guys? Anyone? This is rhetorical. Anyone? Rhetorically? Anyone? Yeah. There hasn't been a whole lot because it's not trending. It's worse than it was when it was trending, incidentally. And this should surprise no one that the opioid crisis, like when it comes to ODs and deaths, are actually up from when it was an issue over the past couple of years. But it's not as trendy, so you're not going to hear about it as much because nobody gives a fuck, because they're looking at what's going on with coronavirus, cops, Black Lives Matter, shooting deaths, riots, Trump. Like this, it's, they've got like the, they got the set, but there's way other things going on. And it's, I just Google like fentanyl in the news, and it's just, I mean, there's so much going on. Like it's just talking about, you know, historic highs of opioid deaths in British Columbia and Canada, and Ulster County in New York. The overdose death rate in Missouri is the highest in the country. That that there's a new version, synthetic drug. It's like altered from fentanyl. It's different. It's called ISO. that they're having to, that doesn't come up on drug tests, on the conventional drug tests. So they're having to manufacture new drug tests because this shit's coming out. And this was what they manufactured because China finally made fentanyl illegal last year. So it's like there's still issues with the opioid crisis and with people, especially now with people having to isolate and going through being mind fucked for 7 months. So definitely you got to take care of yourself. It's what I'm getting at is, and you should really just realize that what you're getting from the news, that is not everything that's going on in the world. It's the most trending things going on in the world. The most, eye catching, fear evoking things that are going on in the world, but there are other things going on in the world. You got to keep it in perspective and don't inundate yourself with it because there's other things. There's other bad things going on that you're not reading about because you're focusing on, people setting fires to things in Wisconsin. There's other things going on. It doesn't mean to ignore something. It just means that it's perspective. You got to take care of yourself. You can't constantly be enraging yourself and freaking out like that long repeatedly throughout the day. It's just not good. You got to find that healthy balance between keeping yourself informed and just every hour, trying to read. Don't post so many memes. Anyone can create a meme. Not anyone can be informed and educated. It's like just sharing the same. I see the same meme being shared by 10 to 15 people. Come on, you guys. Come on. I know who you support. You don't have to like go, hey, everybody, remember, I'm on this side. Like, I get it. Come on, you guys. Take a break. Go outside. Practice some self-care. I know I'd made fun of it last week or a couple of weeks ago, every week. But maybe, give it a rest. So that's all I had. I just wanted to just put things in perspective that it's not, it feels like the end of the world sometimes, but that's, that's in your head. There's some shit that needs to be done. And absolutely. And, I obviously I'm not going to solve it. We're not going to solve it here, but I just, watch out for yourself. Take a break from social media and the news. Killer bees are coming. Just think of that. Whenever you're afraid because of something you read and you've been inundating yourself for too long, just remember, the killer bees are coming. Ooh. And that's it. That's all I got for you this week. Thank you for joining me. Sober people, please stay sober. Talk to somebody. Get encouragement. Encourage somebody else who's sober. If you're not a sober person, stay sane. Encourage other people and their sanity. Look after yourselves and all that. Lay off the sugar, AKA. But if you got to, Fanta's great. Thank you, guys. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. Later. Bye.